My name is Mo Oster, and I am the Senior Vice President for the Medical Society of the State of New York. Every year, we strongly urge physicians to take the time to come to Albany for Physician Advocacy Day to lobby their local legislators. With so many healthcare issues under discussion, not to mention a $4 billion Medicaid budget gap to be filled, the need to be in the Capitol in Albany will be even greater. Our next Physician Advocacy Day in Albany is coming up on Wednesday, March 4th, 2020, so we wanted to take the opportunity now to help demystify the advocacy process to help expand the number of physicians who come to the state capitol. Essential to generating physician participation for this important event is the aggressive outreach of our county medical societies and their leadership, who help to promote the day, coordinate physicians' participation to Albany, and arrange meetings in Albany with our local legislators. With me today to talk about this further is Dr. Ashour, President of the Suffolk County Medical Society, and Dr. Kumar, Executive Director of the Suffolk County Medical Society, who will pose some common questions physicians have with Ms. Need's Physician Advocacy Day.
Thank you for having me, Mo. I appreciate the opportunity to be on this podcast.
Thank you, Mo. This is a great opportunity to debunk some of the questions or myths that people have in their minds regarding addressing legislators and going to lobby day and things like that. So really appreciate you taking the time out to do this.
My pleasure. I'm always happy to help try and demystify the process.
Well, I have one question, and I think this is kind of at the base of everything, is that physicians, they never really wanted to get into politics, or many of them didn't want to get into politics. If they did, they would have tried to run for office. And they're thinking to themselves, why do I have to be a part of this? Why can't I just practice my medicine? Things should come about as they are. Others are fighting for this. Why do I have to get involved?
That's a great question, Aaron. It's something we often hear. Because frankly, the short answer is because everyone else is doing it, and there's a lot of things that are being discussed in Albany that actually affect their ability to deliver care. Whether you're talking about insurance company practices, or what the state will pay physicians for Medicaid, or tort issues that affect the liability and may cause physicians to face defensive medicine pressures or expansion of scope of practice of non-physicians. There are so many issues under discussion in Albany that impact upon the practice of medicine, so that if they don't take the time to do it, then they may find that the practice environment gets even worse than what it is.
Okay. In my practice, I see that there are things going on. I have a thought about some of the stuff that needs to be changed. Can you walk me through the process of how my idea can come into a law, or what is the steps? What is the process?
Well, a legislator can introduce a bill, and very often bills get introduced as a result of various groups or constituents coming forward to the legislator and about having an idea. Indeed, many of the bills that get introduced in Albany are the result of policies that get adopted at the Nizhny House of Delegates that Nizhny will help draft legislation and bring to an individual legislator to help introduce. Examples of that include our collective negotiation legislation, legislation that would reduce prior authorization hassles with insurance companies. Now, at the same time, many of the ideas that we don't like, such as scope of practice expansion or tort expansion, come as a result of those various non-physician groups or trial lawyers coming to the legislators as well to introduce legislation. So that's kind of the process. Oftentimes, the legislator will have their own thought as well. I don't want to kind of give the impression they just simply rely upon outside lobbyists. They oftentimes come up with their own ideas based upon things they're seeing in their own districts, but oftentimes it is coming from various professions.
Hey, Mo. This is Dr. Ashour. In the past that I've gone, we've often met with legislative staff as opposed to the actual legislator. Should I be discouraged, or what are your thoughts on the effectiveness of meeting with staff as opposed to the actual legislator?
That's another good question, because I know that's a common issue that physicians raise. Oftentimes, the staff will be the one who knows the most about particular issues that you're going to be talking about. The legislator, because they have to keep track of so many different issues, may only have a thumbnail knowledge about a particular issue, and the staff may be much more familiar with sort of the ins and outs of and the dynamics of a particular issue. So those meetings are very important, because oftentimes, the legislator will take their perspective based upon what the staff person is suggesting. I've had situations as well, too, where the legislator may give you some comment to suggest that they may go in a particular direction, but in reality, the staff person gives you a much more detailed thought about the legislator's perspective on this issue that gives you, as a person lobbying them, a better sense of what will happen. So don't ever think staff is necessarily not going to be someone who knows a lot about the issue, because oftentimes they will know a lot about the issues that we're talking about.
What would you say would be the ideal number of physicians to, you know, descend upon a legislator's office in order to sort of get the point across, but perhaps not be too overwhelming?
I think typically 4 or 5 people are usually a good number. I think that sometimes reinforces a point about the importance of a particular issue. Recognizing that when it comes to a lobby day, we usually try and really emphasize only a couple of issues at that time, because there's so many different issues that every legislator, every staff person is trying to keep track of, that we're really trying to emphasize the importance of going in a certain direction on a particular issue, so that it is important to have multiple people to reinforce that you cared enough about this issue, that you came to Albany and that you have a group. But you also don't want to have a too overwhelming of a group so that people end up going in different directions. And that's another point that I really want to make as well, is don't get sidetracked, don't get down sort of rabbit holes for issues, for comments or stories about things that don't necessarily relate to the specific issue at hand. Because you may have a very limited amount of time and you need to keep your presentation concise.
Is there, would you say, a best practice approach that we can learn to make us more effective in that very limited time that you just said we had?
I would say at the very least, when you start your discussion on a particular issue, begin with exactly what action you want that legislator to take. I want you to support Bill A3038 before you get into the reasons why, because I think that then sort of gives them a basis upon which to then understand the context of the experiences that you are then relating back to that legislator or that staff. Sometimes I've seen it before where people start talking about all the hassles they're having with insurance companies, and legislator will say, hey, I completely agree with you, but what are you asking me to do? So I think it's always important to make sure you begin with what your specific request of them is and make sure everything you share at that point is then related back to that specific issue. Try to not bring up too many issues in one particular meeting. I know I've seen that before too, where someone brings up their own issue that they've been seeing, which is fine maybe at the end of a meeting just as a reference point for some further conversation. But for the most part, you should really keep the issues limited to 2 or 3.
So Mo, I know that it's great to have the society as a way to get large numbers of physicians to address legislators. I've seen in different sectors, people come up to lobby day and they have a uniform or they have something that shows their identity. Is it advisable or is it beneficial for physicians to come out with their white coats?
I think it is, because I think for those of you who have been in Albany before, they will see that groups sometimes are identified. For example, when the construction workers come to Albany, you'll see them in their reflective safety vest. So that's kind of an indication to everyone else, oh, the construction workers are in Albany today. I think that's why it's very important for the physicians to be wearing white coats. I think it's just a sign to everyone who's in Albany, legislators, their staffs, even other lobbyists, oh, the doctors are in Albany today. And that, I think, even without saying any particular words, I think that reinforces the idea of what particular issues that we're facing. So I think having that, for lack of a better word, uniform, even if physicians don't necessarily wear them regularly, the fact that a lot of staff and legislators associate that with physicians makes it an important piece of clothing to wear while you're in Albany.
For someone who's never been there, can you, Mo, go through how the day works, you know, how it starts and how it progresses?
Sure. Well, first of all, sometimes the counties help arrange a bus for the physicians to get on to ride together to Albany. And maybe on that, they'll have some briefing materials. They'll get to Albany. They'll get to the Egg. We have our program in the Lewis Swire Theater in the Egg. And usually we will get presentations from many of the legislative leaders and chairs of the key committees, where they will talk about some of the big healthcare issues they see on the horizon, while at the same time, physicians will then have the opportunity to ask of them questions about particular issues. So it's a really good opportunity for the legislators to hear from you directly about some of the specific issues that you're all facing. And frankly, from an organizational standpoint, we think it's a good opportunity for these committee chairs to reinforce points that we've been making all session long. That's tremendously important. And I think at the same time, physicians have the ability to then hear some of the competing pressures that the legislators have to deal with as they're considering the issues that we are fighting. At the same time, when I talked before about symbolic messages, we really like to fill that room. Approximately 450 people can fit in that room. And we usually get up to around 200, maybe a little bit more. Some years we've gotten significantly more based upon a specific issue. But when we have that room filled, it also sends off a symbolic message to those legislators who are speaking to us about how much they care about some of the issues that they're grappling with. That's a very important part of it, is to be in the room when the legislators are making their presentations. But then after that, we have a lunch where individual legislators and their staffs from the various areas of the state will come and have lunch. It's a very simple lunch. We usually just do sandwiches. The purpose is to have the legislators and their staff come and speak to you over a meal. And then after that, you'll go off on your individual meetings in the legislative office building in the Capitol. Oftentimes, you'll then have meetings behind the Senate chamber, behind the Assembly chamber, because they may be in session and the legislator can't necessarily go back to their office for a meeting. So sometimes they'll have meetings in these contexts. Certainly, a lot of county medical societies have gotten very good at sort of bouncing around, maybe even being able to divide their delegations to meet with different legislators at different times. And so I find that what will happen is the counties will arrange for 5, 6, 7, 8 different meetings in that afternoon, and then you'll get on the bus and you'll head back home.
Sounds exhausting, and from having been in the past, it is exhausting. I found it exhilarating as well.
That is an important point. It does get exhausting. I think it does require a significant amount of effort, but it really does make a difference. And I think sometimes physicians get discouraged from it because maybe they didn't have as life-altering a meeting with a particular legislator or staffer, or maybe they felt they didn't listen to them. But recognizing that what you are doing there is being done by dozens and dozens and dozens of other physicians and physician groups with different members at the same time. So that kind of repetition across different physician groups at the same time can be incredibly important as we're trying to make a point on a key issue. And again, that was something last year, for example, we were fighting that proposal that would have impose a significant cut on dual eligible Medicaid payments. And the fact that Suffolk County Medical Society physicians were making the same point at the same time, the Westchester County Medical Society physicians were making at the same time that the Onondaga County Medical Society physicians were making that same point. So getting those points repeated over and over again is tremendously important. And while it can be discouraging and exhausting, it's also incredibly important towards successful outcomes. So first of all, thank you, Dr. Shore, for all of your time you've spent doing that, because I think you do set a good example for other physicians. And I think physicians do tend to follow most closely what their peers do.
In the present era where we can reach out on social media and email and phone calls to these legislators and lawmakers, do you think that the personal touch, the pressing of the flesh, is still important?
Absolutely. I think it's all important. I think the social media and grassroots letters and phone calls are very important too. But I think it's also easier to tune it out because there's so much traffic that comes in every single day. But I think that when someone sends a message to you personally, it tends to resonate more than just a message that's sent either by an email or a tweet. Say, I think you should do all of it, but I think the in-person definitely is the most effective.
I agree with that. Is there a cost to the physicians to go?
I think there's personal cost in terms of transportation, you know, arranging your transportation. Sometimes, at least with regard to the buses, MISNI helps to subsidize the cost of county societies getting buses to come to Albany. That's not a decision on my part. That's really a decision for our board and for our CEO. But in terms of actually a registration fee, there is no registration fee.
Well, there's certainly a cost to not going and being on the losing side of any legislation. So if you're going to be in this, you might as well fight for what we need as physicians to continue to provide the services that we do.
I think that's a great point in which to wind this down on. That really is ultimately, what's the cost of not going? Because so often your opponent is going to be in Albany, making that point, and it's tremendously important for physicians to be also making the point to provide a countervailing viewpoint on these issues. And so that's what makes this day one of the most important days of the year for physicians.
No, I have one more question, and it's going to be directed to Dr. Shore. So from my standpoint, you know, having the MD and the MBA and working with the Medical Society, being able to look at things from a different perspective, I got involved in it because I saw there was a need for legislation to be enacted so that there could be better care for patients and for the work that physicians do. Dr. Shore, I just wanted to ask you, what got you involved and how did you decide to be a part of this? What got you interested into this?
Well, for me, this was a natural extension to my work with an independent physician association, which was a natural extension as advocating for my personal needs as a private practitioner. But I wanted to do more and have more of an impact and do from our county medical society. Your predecessor contacted me, and I think it's been a really fascinating journey, an incredible learning experience into process of legislation and advocacy and lobbying and so on and so forth. And I strongly recommend any physician or medical student or anyone who's listening to become involved in this, because it's not only is it important work, but it actually is quite fun. And it'll certainly help your experiencing any negative feelings towards your practice and burnout issues and so on. This is really a wonderful way to reinvigorate the practice of, and the passion of medicine.
You can go to MISNI's website to register for our lobby day. And like I said, we're trying to get this out early because I know physicians' schedules fill up very quickly. We hope to see many physicians at lobby day, and certainly feel free to reach out to me if you have any questions.